A young man stands motionless through the night, locked in silent confrontation with his father. Not a word passes between them, yet the air trembles with unspoken tension. By dawn, the father relents. His brilliant son will leave their Brahmin home to wander as an ascetic. This isn't rebellion. It's something far more dangerous, a refusal to inherit wisdom secondhand. Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha begins with this quiet revolution. And what unfolds is a journey that has haunted readers for a century. Not because it offers answers, but because it dares to question whether answers can ever be given at all. The novel's genius lies in its radical premise. Enlightenment cannot be taught, only lived. Siddhartha throws himself into ascetic practice with terrifying intensity. He stands under the scorching sun until pain evaporates into numbness. He crouches in thorny bushes until blood becomes irrelevant. Under the guidance of wandering samanas, he masters breath control so completely that his heartbeat nearly stops. In meditation, his consciousness slips into other forms, a heron soaring, a jackal dying, dust scattering, experiencing the endless wheel of death and rebirth. Think of the most extreme diets or fitness regimes people pursue today, convinced that punishing the body will liberate the spirit. Siddhartha perfects this logic, yet arrives at a disturbing insight. We're just like drunkards numbing ourselves with rice wine, he tells his devoted friend Govinda. The techniques work temporarily, but when the meditation ends, the self returns, thirsty as ever. After years of self-denial, Siddhartha recognizes the trap. You cannot escape yourself by running from yourself. The shadow follows wherever you go. When Siddhartha and Govinda meet Gautama Buddha at Jetavana Grove, they witness perfection, incarnate, complete peace radiating from his being, teachings flowing with flawless clarity. Govinda immediately joins thousands seeking refuge in this wisdom. But Siddhartha, despite deep veneration, declines. In a private audience, he poses a challenge. If everything follows causality's chain, how could Buddha's teaching something genuinely new enter the world without breaking that chain? Buddha dismisses this clever objection, insisting only liberation from suffering matters. Siddhartha reveals his core insight. Buddha achieved enlightenment through direct awakening, not by following teachings. To follow Buddha's path would contradict Buddha's example, like trying to become an original artist by copying Picasso. Walking away, Siddhartha feels his past life peeling away like shed skin. A startling realization crystallizes. For years, he's been fleeing from the very self he sought to understand. Now the world transforms before his eyes. The blue sky, yellow earth, green foliage, no longer illusions to transcend, but divine manifestations to embrace. This marks his radical turn toward life. When Siddhartha encounters Kamala, the city's most beautiful courtesan, he approaches directly. I wish to learn the art of love from you. She laughs at this ragged former ascetic, but senses something unusual. What can he offer? I can think. I can wait. I can fast. These skills honed through spiritual practice now serve worldly ambitions. Through Kamala's influence, Siddhartha enters merchant Kamaswami's service, quickly mastering commerce while remaining inwardly detached. He accumulates wealth, learns pleasure's arts, engages in business, yet never becomes lost in it. For years, he lives this double existence, outwardly successful, inwardly separate. But gradually, the game becomes real. The bright voice of inner guidance falls silent. Gambling becomes his passion, not for joy, but to demonstrate contempt for wealth through reckless bets. One evening, noticing gray hairs and age lines, Siddhartha dreams of Kamala's golden cage songbird lying dead. Upon waking, he recognizes the terrible truth. Something within him has died. The game of samsara, the cycle of worldly existence, is over. Siddhartha abandons everything wealth, position, Kamala, and walks to the river's edge, contemplating suicide. As he leans over the water, the sacred word Om rises from his soul's depths. He falls into profound sleep, awakening, renewed. This descent into worldly addiction wasn't a mistake, but a necessary graduation. He needed to fully experience material pleasures before transcending them. At the river, Siddhartha encounters Vasudeva, the ferryman who had transported him years before. This time, he stays as apprentice. Vasudeva possesses a rare quality. He listens completely without judgment, hearing not just words but their depths. Living alongside this quiet teacher, Siddhartha learns practical skills operating the boat, weaving baskets. But his greatest education comes from the river itself. The river speaks with countless voices simultaneously laughing, weeping, longing, sighing, all blending into From the water's constant flow, Siddhartha grasps profound truths. The river exists everywhere at once. Time is illusion. Past, present, and future are simultaneous. Over years, his smile grows to mirror Vasudeva's bright, glowing with bliss, shining from a thousand small wrinkles. Siddhartha's peace shatters when pilgrims bring news of Buddha's death. Among them is Kamala, now older, traveling with a young boy. A poisonous snake bites her near the ferry. As she dies in Siddhartha's arms, she reveals the boy is his son. Comforting the grieving child, Siddhartha experiences a profound vision, seeing both their young and aged faces as equally real, feeling the eternal nature of every moment. His son brings suffering, not peace. The pampered 11-year-old despises this humble life, the hut, the old men, the poverty. He refuses to work, steals fruit, sits sullenly by his mother's grave. Siddhartha responds with patient love, offering the best food, hoping to win affection. The child remains proud and disobedient. Vasudeva gently observes, "Water wants to join water, youth wants to join youth." He reminds Siddhartha that neither devotion nor warnings prevented him from finding his own path through suffering. Even if you died 10 times for him, you couldn't take the slightest part of his destiny. Though Siddhartha recognizes this truth, his love proves stronger than his wisdom. Siddhartha devotes himself to the boy, enduring contempt with endless patience. The son erupts, "I hate you. I'd rather become a murderer than be like you." The next morning, he vanishes with their boat and coins. Siddhartha searches frantically, his father's love overpowering all wisdom. Vasudeva follows silently, guiding him back to the river. In the water's voices, Siddhartha hears his own father's anguished calls, the same futile love he once caused. The pattern reveals itself. Just as he abandoned his father, his son has abandoned him. The river shows thousands of faces in the same cycle, all bound by love that must release. This foolish love completes Siddhartha's humanity. Having mastered detachment, he now learns attachment. Having transcended suffering, he embraces it willingly. The wound his son carved transforms into understanding wisdom. Without this, pain would be incomplete. Enlightenment must include the messy, painful, beautiful reality of human love. Years later, an elderly monk named Govinda seeks out the wise ferryman. Not recognizing his childhood friend, he asks if the ferryman searches for the right path. Smiling, Siddhartha questions whether Govinda still considers himself a searcher after decades as a monk. When Govinda admits he's never stopped searching, Siddhartha offers a final teaching. Searching means having a goal. Finding means being free, open, having no goal. As they part, Siddhartha whispers, "Kiss my forehead, Govinda." When Govinda obeys, something miraculous happens. He sees a flowing river of faces, hundreds, thousands, all simultaneously present yet constantly changing. Fish dying, babies crying, murderers killing, lovers embracing, all transforming into each other. Beneath this flow appears Siddhartha's smiling face, identical to Buddha's thousandfold smile. Siddhartha's journey completes its circle. While Buddha found enlightenment through renunciation, Siddhartha found it through embracing all of life, its pleasures, pains, contradictions. His wisdom transcends words communicated only through presence and that mysterious smile containing all existence. In our age of spiritual shortcuts, Siddhartha's message remains radically challenging. There is no path but your own, no teacher but experience, no wisdom that can be borrowed.